Because of what was happening, and Paul is finishing up this letter, and he is making it personal. And at the end, he is making it very personal, and he says, let no man trouble you. He's telling these group of believers, don't let these people trouble you. Don't let these things bother you. Don't let these things stop you from serving. Continue on serving. Continue on living for God, and you will have a life that's a life of peace. You see here what it says in verse number 14, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision. This was the big thing, is that these Judaizers were trying to get these Gentiles to become proselytes of the Jewish belief. Avail of anything, it says, that doesn't mean anything if you're in Christ. Nor uncircumcision. It says, being physically altered or not altered does not matter if you are a new creature. That's what really counts. And he says, and as many, look at this, and as many as walk according to the rule. Now, what rule are they talking about? I think Paul is saying those that keep their eyes on the cross, as we saw in verse number 14, and in verse 15, those that understand that they are in Christ, if they walk according to those principles, that peace be on them, that they will have the peace of God. They will have a calmness in their heart because they are not focused on the things of the world. They're not listening and trying to earn their way to salvation. I've met some people who are very troubled with this idea of living for God and having to earn their way to salvation. Steve Terrell's most of the time my Thursday night visitation partner. We went to visit somebody 3 or 4 years ago. I was the pastor of the church. It was a couple that was visiting. They were from out of town. They were only going to be here for a year and a half. And I went and talked to them, and they believed that this lady believed, specifically the wife, she said, I love coming to the church. The people there are great. The preaching is wonderful. And you think somebody who actually likes the preaching, I mean, you would hope they would stick around. So I'm thinking, then think this is great. Because sometimes when you go to visit people, you never know whether or not they like the church or not like the church. You don't know why they're coming. Well, this lady was that she was just talking for 5 or 10 minutes about it, and she says, I need to ask you one question though. And that always puts up like red flags. Oh, great. One question. Well, what do you believe about this? And she began to ask the question whether or not you believe a person can be on their way to heaven even though they have known sin in their life. And I began talking to her a little bit about eternal security. I began talking about eternal life and that it's a present possession. But this woman was very troubled in the thought that if a person knew that they were sinning and that they did not want to do anything about it, even if they had been saved, that they couldn't go to heaven. Even if they had put their faith and trust. I said, so you're telling, and I asked the lady, I said, so you're telling me if you were having a wrong thought or you had told a lie and you haven't asked forgiveness and you got hit by a car and you had no chance to repent of it, that you would end up in hell? And she says, that's what I believe. And her husband didn't really believe the exact same way she did. She says, and I was talking to him about salvation and baptism, and they had been remarried and only been married for a short number of years. He says, well, I've never been baptized, and I know I'm supposed to be baptized. And the wife looked at him and said, if you're not baptized and you know you're not supposed to be baptized, you're not going to heaven until you get that right. We need to get this right. And she was really, really troubled about something. You know, there is rest and there is peace and salvation in what we can know of Jesus Christ. There is an eternal security we have in Christ. And the Apostle Paul is telling these people, do not let these people come in and trouble you. And that's my encouragement tonight. He ends this with a personal, he says, look, if you look what it says in verse number 17, from henceforth, talking about from the future here, let no man trouble me. And that's what I think Paul is saying here, that no man is troubling him. But this next phrase makes me just consider, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And here is what's going on. Paul is telling him, says, look, let no man trouble you. He says, no man troubles me. And then he says, look at my body to see. Now, don't get me wrong, the Apostle Paul had been branded over and over by the beatings he had. Even in this area of Galatia, they knew what happened to him at Lystra. They knew the stones that were thrown. They knew the work that had been done. These were the people that he had won to Christ, and all these things. There was many people trying to trouble Paul. There was many people trying to stop Paul. There was many people that were trying to get Paul to stop what he was doing. But the point was, these people were not troubling Paul. There's a difference. There might be plenty of people in this world that tries to stop you from serving God. There might be plenty of people in the world that tries to get you to stop reading your Bible and stop praying and stop believing in what the Word of God says. And they might try to sway you one way or sway another way. And they might even get physically like they were doing to Paul. There was plenty of people that were troubling Paul. There was plenty of people that on their side doing everything they could. These Judaizers, they weren't doing this just for fun. They didn't believe in what Paul was preaching. And they would go up behind Paul and they many times would cause problem after problem after problem after problem. And all these churches that he began, there was many people trying to trouble Paul, trying to get to Paul. And Paul says, look at my body. It's got scars all over it. It's from the whippings. It's from the way that my body has been treated. And it's from the scars. And this idea that this word here, when it talks about the marks, it's talking about like a stigma type thing, or stigmata is what the word is from. And it talks about the different brandings, like the slaves back then. Many times if a slave would run away from its owner, they would capture it. They would actually write the name of the slave, the owner, inside the slave's forehead, so everyone would know who owned that man because it ran away. And then the same word is talked about when people would, if they were part of some special ops or special Roman force or special force, that on their forehead would say what type of thing it was that was marked on their head, was what type of army they were in or what type of force it was. Also, sometimes when people wanted to believe in a certain god and the certain religions and false gods, they would write on their forehead, have it branded in their head, was this idea of who they served. And Apostle Paul is saying here, all you have to do is look at my body and see all the different people who have tried to trouble me. See all the different people who have tried to sway me one way and try to take me from the truth. And how, and he was just saying throughout this whole entire letter, don't let these people bother you. Don't let these people change what you know is truth. George Whitfield, the evangelist, he learned it was important to please God rather than men. Knowing that he was doing what was honoring for the Lord kept him from discouragement. You know, because he knew he was living in God, had his eyes on the cross, his mind in Christ, he was walking with a calmness in his heart because he knew he was doing what God had called him to do, just as the Apostle Paul. But there was many people who were his enemies. Many who would falsely accuse him of things. That ever happened to you? You ever been falsely accused? I have been. You know, I guess just trying to do what's right. You said this. Those words never came out of my mouth. I would never even thought about saying that. You did. I never did that. You might have thought something, but I've been falsely accused many times. But Paul, Whitfield has been called, accused at one point in his ministry. Whitfield received a vicious letter accusing him of a horrible wrongdoing. His reply was brief but courteous. He says, I thank you heartily for your letter. As for what you and my enemies are saying against me, he said, I know worse things about myself than you will ever be able to say about me. He says, with love in Christ, George Whitfield. And they were saying whatever they could to try to get this man to stop doing what he knew God wanted him to do. And he said, I'm not going to let anybody else trouble me. I'm not going to let somebody else stop me from my walk with Christ. I'm going to serve God. And that's what Paul is telling this group of young believers. This is what they need to hear. You're going to have lots of people in your life that's going to try to discourage you, that's going to try to derail you, that's going to try to do whatever they can to get you not to serve God. And Paul's saying, don't let anybody trouble you. Now, let's look at three different things I think we can do. And I've already mentioned a little bit. It's three different things here that I think can help us not letting people trouble us. Remember, Jesus is no security against life storms. The storms are going to come, but he is perfect in security in them. He is perfect in the fact he can take care of you. Three things. Number one is keep your eyes on the cross. Keep your eyes on the cross. And we talked about this on Sunday night. If you were not here Sunday night, it was a long message. It was a lengthy message. It had a lot of information in it, but it talked about why we should glory in the cross. And I think God can help us with that. If we keep our eyes focused in him, if the cross is what we rejoice in, we're not ashamed of the cross. We know what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross. I encourage you, if you didn't get a chance to hear it, to listen to it, it's online, or you can get a CD of it, because it is a point of victory in our lives. If we want to not let men trouble us, the first thing we need to do is keep our eyes on the cross. Say, Pastor, why do you want to keep your eyes on the cross? Because the cross is a symbol of victory. The cross is a symbol of victory. Many people say, oh, no, that's a symbol of death. Now, that represented that Jesus Christ died on that cross. He shed his blood for our sins, and we can go to heaven because of what he did on that cross when we put our faith and trust in him. Some people look at the cross and they're despised by it, but we should bear the reproach of the cross because of what the cross has done for us. It's a symbol of victory. Yes, he did die on that cross, but it represents what he rose again that next day. It's a symbol of victory. The Bible says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That when we lift up the cross, when we keep our eyes on the cross, believe me, we're not going to let people trouble us, because we can say, no matter what you say to me, Jesus Christ died for me. That's a symbol of victory. He paid for my sins, and you can accuse me of everything you want, but because of the fact that he died and he shed his blood for me, I am on my way to heaven because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus was crucified in the past to pay for our sins and to satisfy the just demands of the God's holiness by shedding of his blood. The cross is a reminder of that payment and that awful price Jesus Christ had to pay in his life. But nothing was able to stop Christ. And that cross should tell you, hey, you're on the winning side. If God satisfied and let his son go through all that for us, we're on the winning side. He is not going to cast us away. We don't have anything to worry about because the price has already been paid for, and we can not let people bother us. Not say, oh, you got to do this and you got to do that and you got, no. It's been paid for. Now, that doesn't give us a reason to go out and live whatever way we want. That cross, if we keep our eyes focused on that cross, it's going to say, there's no commitment that's too much to ask. There's nothing that I should not be willing to do because of what he did for me. And here, it's not only a cross as a symbol of victory, it's the instrument of separation. So what do you mean? Well, this, we didn't go in this part of the verse, in verse 14, but look at the last two phrases. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul concludes by saying that the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. What he is implying that because we claim the cross for salvation, we must be separate. He's implying that because the cross is saying that we need to go through the way of the cross, we must believe what happened on the cross. The believer is crucified with Christ is the only way for salvation. And Paul is saying here that it's going to separate us. It's going to separate us from other people in the world. By whom the world is crucified unto me. He says, the world has been crucified unto me, and I unto this world, because of the fact that what the cross represents, it's an instrument of separation. People will separate us from our work because of the cross. It also should cause us to separate from the world. People will not like to hear about the cross. People will not like to hear a bloody sacrifice that they had to have someone else die for their sins. People reject that all the time. They look for everything else they can. Well, if I can work my way to heaven, or if I can say this much penance, or if I can crawl and make this type of a journey, if I can do all these things, then I can please God. No, they don't like to hear about the cross. And it separates us from everybody else. It shows and teaches us it's different than everybody else. And if we keep our eyes on this and say, you know what? The cross that I keep my focus on, it is going to cause people to separate from us. There are going to be people that just do not understand what we believe and teach. There are going to be people in the world. It can't be that. You're going to have to believe. There must be more than one way. I still remember watching that Oprah video where she had that conversation with the lady in the audience. And she said, the lady in the audience said, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. She says, there's got to be more than one way. No, there's not. The cross separates the rest of the world from us. And it's what makes us different. But it also should be the spot where we're crucified from the world. It says, and I unto the world. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, I look at that fact that Christ gave himself for me, and the life I live is no longer myself. It's by faith. And I live it for him. The verb crucified is in the perfect tense. It's allowing the Galatians to see that it has already happened in the past, but it's still effective in their lives now in the present. We got to keep our eyes focused on the cross. We got to see it as a symbol of victory, but also as a symbol of an instrument of separation. There will be people in this world that will just reject the cross of Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. That's why we can't let people trouble us. What we put our faith in, what we put our trust in, that's what troubles them. They don't want to believe what we believe. That's why we got to make sure we don't let those people trouble us. They're not in the same belief system that we are. These Judaizers did not believe that Jesus Christ was the way to heaven. They had attached themselves to that, and they had hooked themselves up with that, and then they began to add their own things to salvation and saying, okay, you can believe in Jesus Christ if you want, but you still got to do this, and you still got to do this, and then you got to do this, and you got to believe this. Then, if you do all these things, you get to go to heaven. If that was the case, then Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to come to the cross. You could have worked your way to heaven, and Jesus Christ would have never had to die. But there is people who are going to trouble you. There are going to be people who are going to try to get you to stop. People in the world is going to tell you need to shut up. There's going to be people in the world that need to tell you that you need to sit down. Nobody cares about what the Bible says. Nobody cares what the Word of God says, that you're just wasting your time. And the Apostle Paul says, let nobody trouble you. He says there are going to be people out there who are going to try to trouble you, but don't let them trouble you. He says, just look at my body. He says, my body is a testimony that I have not let people stop me. Second thing, not only is it keeping your eyes on the cross, keeping your mind in Christ. Keeping your mind in Christ. Look what it says in verse number 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. What he's saying here is, look, it doesn't matter if you're circumcised or uncircumcised. The question is, are you in Christ? It's not whether or not you've had your body physically altered or not. It's whether or not you are in Christ. See, Paul would have never had any difficulty at all with the legalism of that day if he had just presented the gospel as a competitor to the field. What do you mean? If Paul had said, hey, look, you can go this way or you can go my way, it's okay to go to heaven. And that's why all the other religions of the world can hold hand and they can sing Kumbaya and they can say, hey, look, you can do this and this. They all believe in works. They all believe you have to do something to earn their way to heaven. That's why the religions and different cults don't have a problem with one another. But it's when we say that you got to be in Christ and that you have to come through the blood of Jesus Christ and there is no other way to heaven, we become legalistic. We becoming to a spot where we become narrow-minded. Think about it this way. J. Vernon McGee used this as an example, and I thought it was interesting. He used the example of soap. And he said, what do you mean? Well, you know, there's a lot of different people out there, soaps, and there's a lot of different things people say about soap. They say, your soap might make you smell good. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Soap makes you smell good. It might make you feel good. It might be sensitive to your sin. And J. Vernon McGee said back when he says, there was nobody that said soap will make you clean. He says, they are all these different advertisements that soap will do this, soap will do this, soap will do this. He says, but if he had a soap, he said, I would put it out this way, this soap will make you clean. He says, and there's nothing wrong with that because it's comparing it to everybody else. But if you use the idea that this soap is the only soap that will make you clean, then people would say, no, you're wrong. My soap's going to make you clean and my soap can make you clean. But he's saying, if you make it this way, that there's only one way and everything else is wrong, guess what? You're going to have enemies. You're going to have people that say, you can't say that. There's going to be people out there that are going to try to trouble you. And that's what's going on in this passage of Scripture. They're interested in, are you willing to follow my laws? Are you willing to follow my guidelines? Then you can become a Christian. Now, that's not it. It is narrow-minded. The path is narrow. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It was him that said that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If he is not in Christ, he is not a new creature. If he is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Are you in Christ tonight is the question. It's not whether or not you're circumcised. It's not whether or not you try to keep the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount. It's not whether or not you try to do this or try to do that. It's whether or not are you in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you believe the only way to Christ is through salvation, through the cross. There are going to be people who are going to trouble you. You're going to have family members that tell you you're crazy. You're going to have people who say there's got to be more than one way. What about all these other sincere people? I don't have an answer for them, but I have an answer that the Bible says if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature. And the Bible says that Christ is the only way. And there will be people that will trouble you. You say, Pastor, so how do I stop these people from troubling me? Number one, you keep your eyes on the cross. You see, that is a symbol of victory, and that because of the cross, I can have victory and I can know for salvation. I know I'm not going to be cast away and all those long things we talked about Sunday night, that we know that God's love and we know that he paid our payment for sin and we know all those things. But also, we also know that it's a place of separation. There's people who just will reject the cross. They don't want to bear the reproach of the cross. They don't want to deal with the cross. And there's going to, because of that, people are going to try to trouble us. We've got to remember that. We've got to be ready. But not only this, but we got to remember that we're in Christ. Why is that important? See, we don't have to let people trouble us, because if we're in Christ, guess what? Nobody can do anything to change that. You yourself can't do anything to change that. God said you're in the palm of God's hand, and nothing can take you out of the palm of God's hand. Isn't that wonderful? If you're in Christ, if your mind's in Christ, guess what? There's nothing that can stop you from being in Christ. The Bible says that we are sealed, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that you had heard of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We've been sealed, and we're going to heaven. So why do we not need to let people trouble us about our beliefs? Number one is because we see the cross. But we see that we're in Christ. Our mind, if we're in Christ, that nothing can ever change that. They can beat Paul as many times as they want to, but nothing was going to stop him from being a Christian. They can mock you, call you a fool, laugh at you as much as they want to, but nothing will ever change the fact that you're in the family of God. That's the reason why we don't need to let people trouble us. Now, will people try to trouble us? Look at Paul's body. People try to trouble him over and over and over. He says, look, they did it to me. But he still walked in a life of peace. The third thing is, not only keeping your eyes on the cross and keeping your mind in Christ, keep your heart with calmness. Keep your heart with calmness. Say, Pastor, how in the world can someone take all that abuse? I don't know how Paul did it. But it says in verse 16, as many as walk according to this rule. And what rule is he talking about? And I think he's referring to keeping their eyes on the cross, keeping our mind in Christ, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. The amazing thing is, God says if we will live with our eyes on the cross, our mind in Christ, we can have a life of peace and a life of mercy. If you're a Christian, then you have made peace with God. Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. At one point in time, we were the enemy of God. But the Bible says that when we reconcile with God, we've made peace with God. But now the Bible is saying, if we walk in that peace, if we walk by seeing, having eyes on the cross, our focus, or our mind in Christ, we can have peace. I don't know about you, but peace is something that's awesome. I'm not trying to be mean, but not many Christians today live in peace. They're very anxious. They're very worried. They're very fearful about a lot of different things. And it is just tearing many Christians apart to where they have no testimony at all. But the Bible says that we can have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. How can you have that peace? Well, Apostle Paul, he says, well, their lives must be easy. Apostle Paul's life wasn't easy. Just look at his body. He's sitting in a Roman cell many times, writing these books sometimes. And like in Philippians, he's telling you, rejoice evermore. And he's telling you that the peace of God can pass all understanding. While he's sitting in a jail cell, waiting to hear when he's going to die, he's telling Timothy, please bring me my books. He's telling them, keep on preaching, preach the word. He is living a life of peace despite the fact that the whole world is up against them. Despite the fact that everybody wants him to get shut up, and they're trying to stop him. They're throwing rocks at him. They're beating him. They're throwing whips at him. He's being shipwrecked. He's being bitten by snakes. He has a life of peace though. No matter what turmoils are in the storms of life that come in your world, the Bible says you can have a life of peace. And the Bible says in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Jesus is no security against life's storms. The storms will come, but he is perfect security in them. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You can have a heart of calmness, is what the Bible is saying here in verse number 16. If we walk. Now, this idea of walking is a continual thing. It's an ongoing thing. It's not the fact that you make peace with God at salvation and then you stop and you start depending on yourself. That's not it at all. It is a walk that you make peace with God at salvation, and you continue on walking by keeping your eyes focused on the cross, by keeping your heart and your mind in Christ, knowing that nothing will ever change that, that the heart, the cross is a symbol of victory, and that because of what happened on that cross, I can have victory. Because of that cross, I'm going to be separated from the world, and that the world is going to be against me sometimes, but I'm not going to let that world trouble me. I'm not going to let those people trouble me. I'm not going to let the things of this world trouble me because I have peace with God. When's the last time you really truly had peace? I think if you went back and say, you know, when I had nothing against me and God, no sin between me and God, and I was doing what God wanted me to, even though sometimes it might have been tougher and harder, that's when the last time I really knew peace was. It may be today, and praise the Lord if it is. But many times we allow the anxieties and the worries of this world and unbelief and not having enough faith. Those type of sins just tear us up, and we take our eyes off the cross because the cross tells us, man, that is a symbol of victory. Because of that cross, I'm on my way to heaven. And then if I have in this mindset that I'm in Christ, it's not about what I do and don't do, it will change the way we live our lives, and our hearts can be calm. And that's what Paul is saying here. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Now, it's kind of interesting here. Paul makes it really personal to these Judaizers. The Israel of God, what does that mean? That means those who have, he's writing that to those Jews who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and they are preaching and teaching the gospel. He is clarifying the difference of the Israelites that are these Judaizers that are Israel because of their physical. And he's saying to them that the people that will have peace are those that are the Israel of God. Talking about the Jews that believe and trust in God and God alone for salvation. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that I don't have to work for my salvation, because how do you know if you've done enough? How do you know whether or not you've done enough, you've paid enough, you've gone enough, and you've done enough? It's hard enough for me just to live a life that's by faith, knowing I'm eternally secure. But those things will trouble you. I meet lots of people to say, I hope that I'm going to heaven. I'm trying to live a good life. I just don't know if it's enough. And that's got to be troubling. Am I going to die and go to hell today? That's got to be troubling to somebody. But the Bible's saying that if you have peace, you can have peace because you know him and because you're in Christ. You don't have to try to earn and work your way, but instead, and this is what the whole book has been about. It's been about Paul telling them, look, it's not about you. It's about what Christ has done for you and the faith you've put in Christ. Don't let these other men trouble you. So, as we close tonight, is there someone who's troubling you in your walk with Christ? If you keep your eyes focused on the cross and your mind in Christ, those people won't trouble you. Now, is that easy to say? No, it is tough. When someone's trying to attack you, or someone's trying to abuse you, or trying to mock you for your belief, sometimes people try to get you to cause you to question what you believe. If you keep your eyes focused on the cross, and your mind in Christ, and your mind in the book, those people aren't going to trouble you. You're going to say, why are you bothering me anyway? Why does it matter to you what I believe and don't believe? They're offended by the cross. They're offended by your beliefs. It's because you said that it's the only way. They're going to try to trouble you. And that cross will cause you to separate from the world, but also the world will be separated from you. And they're going to try to cause problems in your life. It's not going to stop until we get to heaven. This evening, is there somebody troubling you? Why are they troubling you? Oh, it's because they've got a big mouth and because they believe this and believe that. Now, those people tried to trouble Paul, but Paul said, nope, I got a life of peace. Those people never stopped me. Look at my body. It's a living testimony of the scars that are here. There's many people who try to trouble me, but I'm not going to let them trouble me. I'm going to have a life of peace because I got my eyes on the cross and my mind in Christ. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.